everybody, welcome back to Right to the Source. My name is Robin Harrison, and I'm here as ever with the Dolly Parton to my Kenny Rogers, Mr. Ed Birkin. Ed, how are you today?
I am well, thank you. I was about to say I'd take that because Dolly is clearly the talent, but randomly, well, not random to me, okay. I've been listening to a lot of Kenny Rogers this week.
Have you?
Yes. Some of his songs aren't to my taste, but okay. He's got some classics. I mean, The Gambler, yes, but Coward of the County and, you know, their famous duet, Ireland in the Stream. Is that right? Yeah. That's what it's called. Well, I mixed up one of the words. There it is. Yeah, Ireland in the Stream. So yeah. How many listens has Ireland in the Stream had on Spotify as of today?
As of since it was first on Spotify, which I imagine was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Must be in the billions.
No, I think 600 million. I mean, that really? Could be downloads or listen. But he has 11.7 million monthly listeners, Kenny Rogers, which means that that 11.600 million number is possibly wrong. Anyway. Okay.
What's the most listened to artist on Spotify?
Well, I don't know. I'm only on Kenny Rogers. So Ireland in the Stream has had more than The Gambler, but The Gambler is listed number one as the most popular Kenny Rogers song. Ireland in the Stream, then Coward of the County. If I were to go on to the great Dolly Parton, what do you think her number one song is? Most popular?
Jolene, I Will Always Love You, and Islands in the Stream.
Jolene, yeah, 932 million. Second, 9 Till 5.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then Ireland in the Stream, then I Will Always Love You. So that came on yesterday in the office, listening to, as I make my team listen to Absolute Country Radio.
Yeah.
And I Will Always Love You came on, and Caroline turned around to me and said, you told me that every song sounds better when sung as country music. This proves that's not true. And I think she had a point.
Ooh, no, no, no.
No, but you can't.
I think the Dolly Parton version is better than the Whitney Houston one.
I just don't think it is. Because when it kind of like stops the Whitney Houston one, and then she really pumps out. Like, you just can't replicate that. That is just the feel-good, slightly emotional.
I'm not sure it's feel-good.
Or maybe like crying. It's just a powerful. Yeah,
but I think the Dolly Parton one, it's more kind of understated, and apparently Elvis really wanted that song because he was like, I want to perform this, I want to sing this to be like my song. And she was like, nope. And there was a film a few years ago.
No offense to the King, but that wouldn't have gone well, I don't think, wouldn't have suited him.
I think I can kind of see it in some of his slower ones. You know, if you think of something like In the Ghetto or something like that, these kind of songs, he could sell them. But there was a film a few years ago about Priscilla Presley that had that tall guy. I think he's Australian. He's in loads of stuff. He's kind of tall and brooding. I've no idea what his name is, but he was playing Elvis, and obviously, you know, at the end, like, Priscilla kind of pisses off because, you know, Elvis is a bit of a maniac. And at the end, they played the Dolly Parton version of I Will Always Love You. And so I was just like, oh, that's quite a good song to kind of end on. You know, it's a bit sad. But apparently that was, you know, kind of deliberate because Elvis wanted that song and couldn't have it, and therefore it reflected what was going on in the film.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's pathetic fallacy, but it might be.
Well, I mean, we've gone somewhere that I wasn't expecting, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean
Kenny and Dolly.
That's kind of par for the course, isn't it? Should probably talk about something to do with gambling. Should we talk about the Netherlands?
Well, but before that, I would just want to say to you, let me be the first to congratulate you on a great event at IGB Live.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I know that we've recorded this before IGB Live, but I'm just assuming that you won't get around to putting it out till afterwards. So I just want to say it was fantastic. And if there are further delays, I want to say ICE 2027 has also been amazing. So, you know, well done, Robin.
What a G2E we had in 2028.
I mean, that's an interesting one. G2E, I mean, I won't be going because they've clashed it with...
SBC.
SBC. I mean, to be honest, I went last year. It's not... I think there's better events, but it's different. You know,
it's very...
The US is very US-focused, yeah, so it's going to be. So for me, maybe that's not quite relevant. Yeah. So for other US people, it could be an amazing event. But for someone who looks internationally, to me, it was a no-brainer to be going to SBC Lisbon. That, as I've said before, you know, I don't think all events are great. And there's many that I don't go to and some I go to that I wish I hadn't. But SBC Lisbon last year was very good, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay, that's good to know.
But G2E, I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to view that as a missed one. But anyway, Netherlands.
Anyway, yeah, Netherlands. Obviously, it raised its gambling tax in two phases. Second jump came in this year. How do you think they're doing in terms of getting all that new tax?
Well, I could tell you exactly how they did in 25 and what they're projected to do in 2026 because I read an IGB article. So why don't you give some numbers for once?
Okay, I will give some numbers. So the Dutch Treasury predicted that the kind of phase... introduction would generate an additional 108 million euros in 2025 and an additional 216 million euros in 2026. However, reality hit, and according to the Kansspel Autoriteit, it generated an extra 2 million in 2025, and that will increase in 2026, but to 57 million. So basically about a quarter of what it kind of originally thought it was going to make.
You trying to read numbers is a bit like me trying to read Chinese. It looks as though you're having to concentrate really hard. And that's like, I can't read Chinese. But me trying to look at Portuguese or something. No, it's true. Look, it is massively...
I was trying to remember them off my head because I was staring at them balefully beforehand, so I'd try and register.
Maybe read them next
brain.
Time. It's underperformed. And that is being used... You know, tax went down, let's be honest, in Q4... when it was introduced versus the prior year, the tax rate had gone up and tax take went down. And that's a great argument for the industry against tax rises. Now, what no one said, but everyone knows, and let's be honest, because we just say things how it is, and not enough people listen to us for it to matter, it is not exactly because of that. Let's be fair. Okay. The deposit limits came in, which have had a material impact on the industry. So if they hadn't have come in, then tax take, in my view, probably wouldn't have gone down, but it probably wouldn't have gone up either. You know, so increasing the tax rate would have led to still more people going offshore, wouldn't have generated any more tax revenue. It's clearly a bad thing to do, but let's not pretend that the deposit limits didn't have any impact. On the flip side, the tax rate is actually having a... more material impact on the land-based business in some ways. Was it Claude that I got to translate it for me? Anyway, it's saying that 11% decline in land-based visitors in arcades in Q1. You know, Jack's and Fairplay have come out and said one of the main reason for them shutting gaming arcades is the increase in tax rate. A lot of people could say, is it a bad thing? There's fewer land, you know, arcade machines. It depends where you sit on that. But, you know, it, without doubt, the increase in tax has had an adverse impact on the land-based market. It's had an adverse impact on the onshore online market. It's definitely had an adverse impact on channelization. which therefore you would say on player protection, and it hasn't delivered the benefits that was projected in terms of revenue generation.
Absolutely not.
So
tax rises don't work.
Don't tell the UK government that. You know, they've got more to come. Anyway. Well, yeah, that's the Netherlands. That's the Netherlands. Yep. On the Netherlands as well, just 'cause I'll throw it out there. So I've been, you know, squirreling away, if that's the word.
Yeah, no. Squirreling's like when you're kind of storing stuff.
Yeah, no, I haven't been doing that. I've just been working away. What's the word?
Beavering away.
Beavering away, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, managed to get hold of actual accounts for 85% of the online market. So that's updated, which are now available to subscribers, and updated on market share materially. And there's some pretty interesting differences in terms of what we had actually anticipated before. And it also then shows some of the differences in player value across operators. So if you're measuring their web traffic against their actual GGR, and then the impact on what these player deposits have had. So Unibet, which was the market leader, had higher value players, probably from their pre-regulation time.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see in their results, they have been more impacted in terms of revenue declines year on year with the deposit limit change than the Dutch Lottery, which is a lottery you'd expect to have more casual players, and they've had a lower impact, and they've actually now overtaken as the market leader, which is pretty extraordinary to have a lottery as a commercial market leader. So there's some interesting stats that can be pulled out of that, but, you know, that's for subscribers. We've been doing a little analysis on the World Cup on prediction markets.
Nice segue.
This is, you know, there's different dashboards that are available on June. And, you know, some of them put together by others, so you take it with a pinch of salt. But based on what we believe is, you know, the right numbers, what do you think the highest volume market in USD terms is, in terms of like winning, not winning the World Cup?
The highest volume market?
Hmm.
I mean, based on that segue, it kind of suggests you're going to say the Netherlands.
DR Congo. There are more. There is more volume on the DR Congo not to win the World Cup than on any other market at the moment. Now, in fairness, there's not loads of... I mean, there's a lot of bets, so there's more bets on other ones, but by the looks of it, there's some people who've put some big bets on DR Congo not to win.
Winning.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's all pretty low margin. Actually, this is... I didn't see this.
Okay.
Hayden had ruined this for me and my team, so... second most of not winning is USA, and third is Scotland. It's the third most backed team to not win the World Cup.
I mean, I think they might have something there.
Yeah. On the winner side, the most backed team to win?
France.
Yeah, then Spain, and then Portugal. Now, final part on it. Individual match level, Brazil v Morocco generated the highest amount of losing trades.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Portugal, DR Congo, Netherlands, Japan, Belgium, Iran, Spain, Cape Verde. What did all of those matches have in common?
Run through the matches again.
Brazil v Morocco, Portugal v DR Congo, Netherlands, Japan, Belgium, Iran, and Spain, Cape Verde.
They were all draws.
Correct. So, while this minute had the highest losing trades for people on the prediction markets, draws are results that typically favour traditional sportsbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that very small piece of data and extrapolating it wildly, it looks as though that could potentially be quite a lucrative start, considering some of those, I mean, especially Spain, Cape Verde, yeah? You would have expected people lumping on Spain.
Yeah. So, interestingly, in the 2010, I think it was 2010 World Cup, New Zealand were the only team to go through the tournament unbeaten.
Okay.
they did go out in the first round, but they did not lose a game.
I think we've done pretty well. So 5 minutes on Dolly and Kenny. Five minutes on Netherlands, 5 minutes on the World Cup. Next, Ireland.
So Ireland.
Give teams that didn't qualify.
No, they didn't. Sure. Yeah, you're on the money there.
So they are about to do licensing under the new regulator, GRAI, GRI.
GRI.
As of 1st of July.
GRI, now, on 1st of July.
What proportion... Sorry, let's think about when this will be out. They have just issued new licenses on the 1st of July.
2 months ago, on the 1st of July.
So, how much of the market... So, let's be honest. Sports betting is already licensed there online.
Yeah.
Just under the regulator. Uh-huh. Okay. So, how much of the Irish market is... online market is currently onshore?
For iGaming?
For
all products? Because it was just iGaming, then none of it, because it's not licensed.
Exactly. So, that's the thing. So...
Trying to trick me there.
It's just not trick you, enlighten the audience, which you have done for me. So at the moment, HG's data shows that we estimate 90% of online betting is onshore. 89% this year. But only 35% of the total market, because as you correctly say, all gaming is offshore.
Yeah.
And because of that, quite frankly, the regulator doesn't know what size
the market is. Would H2 happen to have any...
Well, we have a
guesstimate.
A best estimate. So
a best
we estimate that it's very different to what the... if we look at the those operators who are currently onshore...
Mm-hmm.
Their proportion of gaming is going to be a lot lower than what the offshore market is. Because a lot of the offshore market is very iGaming focused.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So we will, and you will still, when you have regulation, you will still have some iGaming focused players come on shore.
Yep.
But the channelization for betting is still going to remain, you know, above that of iGaming.
Okay.
So at the moment, we have onshore betting at, in 2026, 470 million GGR. Mm-hmm. And another 56 million in offshore, so total 525 million. But we have this year 830 million in online gaming. So online gaming is the biggest part of the market, even though I appreciate that if you're looking on a standalone basis... I don't have it in front of me in all our statistics, but we've worked out what we estimate the gaming part of the licensed sports books is, which is a lower share. So, yeah, so some of that will come on the market. So let's look 2 years out. We think 2028, first full year of regulation, 75% of the gaming market will be onshore, 82% of the overall market. But it'd be interesting to see because, say, we don't... Mm. No one knows really exactly what the size of the iGaming market is in Ireland. But we have a best estimate. So this year, 1.4, 1.35 billion total market. And you've clearly got this licensing, but then next year you're going to have the iGaming licensing. So they're taking it slow.
Yeah.
But it's best to get it right, quite frankly. And the market's been operating in this way for a number of years.
Yeah, so it's been a long old process. It's taken a long while to get here.
But yeah, that's I think my news for the... What other data have we been doing this week? Which will obviously be out of date by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're the main ones, really. What else is on your website? What's come to your attention, Robin? What are you most excited about at IGB Live, and then we can work out whether it's been a success, because there's a big African part, isn't there?
Yeah, so we have the Africa Summit. So that, like, honestly, I mean, I think that is possibly the most exciting thing, because obviously it's very new for us. Like, obviously we had the Ice Africa way back when, but it's the first time we've done these this kind of focus summit at a IGB Live. So we've got a lot of regulators. We've got regulators from Nigeria, yeah. South Africa, Kenya, Malawi, Uganda, Ghana, Angola, Tanzania, Democratic Republic of Congo, future World Cup winners, Rwanda. Regulators, head of the regulatory authority or the body responsible from all of those markets coming. It's so, look, I mean, one thing that was very clear from speaking to people in the industry is that they want to speak to the regulators. And we brought the regulators.
Okay. Look, I'm doing, I'm moderating a panel on tax, and the problem with a lot of panels, I think, is that it's all just, you know, ask an easy question, someone, you know, smashes it away with a, you know, standard industry wants to hear response.
And I thought you were going to say a croquet mallet there, and I'm not sure why.
Next person does, you know, the same, and it's pretty, if someone tossed a ball up to you, it's pretty hard to hit with a croquet mallet. They're pretty heavily weighted at the base.
Are they?
Easy to swing, I don't think.
Would it surprise you to learn that I've never played croquet?
It would. You come across as, like, you know, let's say a champagne socialist, like, you know, a champagne Scottishist.
Champagne Scottishist, a kind of Brian Clough.
It wouldn't surprise me if through your networking you'd ended up at, you know, some iGaming drinks at Somerset House and they had a croquet lawn and you thought, oh, bollock, you know, I'll give it a go because I've never done it. See what these, you know, high-class Ponzi English people do, and just have a...
I mean, that's all English people to me.
Anyway, nothing about croquet. Yeah. So, yeah, you could do that scrap and just chuck them something easy, or, you know, ask the question that is interesting that everyone knows. So, everyone knows that a significant part...
Yeah.
I'm trying to be careful about how much. A significant part of the gambling industry in Africa does not pay the tax that they should be paying by legislation. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's been put in some regulatory reports, and you just know that effectively operators can't make money on some how tax is set out in some markets. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's okay. So, you know, but some operators who are, and, you know, they won't go into certain markets because they say we pay all our tax in markets we go to, and that is just not possible to operate in that market if you do so, so we're not in it. So clearly they are going to be saying the tax rates are wrong and we need lower tax and blah, blah, blah. But actually, you know, is a question around should operators be paying all the tax? Because I think one of the reason that Africa's got this terrible, generally terrible taxation system, yeah, South Africa,
African
Nigeria,
markets. Africa market. Is obviously a continent, not a market.
You know, some, you know, Nigeria, South Africa aside, etc., which were better. But they look at other countries and go, you know, Kenya. Okay, yes, you had some issues, but generally, still pretty thriving market. Very punitive tax rates, and they go, well, why we should do that. And so they're not showing. We've talked about Netherlands, and we're pointing to the fact that they've increased the tax rate, and it's had a really adverse impact on the market. Whereas you look in other African markets and you go, well, that market works with those ridiculous tax rates. So then they just go, well, we'll do those tax rates. And so they're not actually showing that these markets can't work with the headline tax rates because they're just not paying them. And I think that puts it in a difficult position because they're not able to prove the adverse impact of those tax rates because they're not happening in practice.
That's a deep thought.
And probably one I need to make more succinct if I turn it into any kind of question.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you do that on the panel, that'll be half your time on stage.
Okay, now Africa, I think that's going to be
a good... Africa, I think the M&A summit will be really interesting. Again, something very new. look, we obviously moved IGB Live to London. That coincided with, you know, a period of difficulty for the UK market. But I think, I mean, look, let's be honest, people always, you know, we moved it from Amsterdam, another market that is going through difficulty. It's not just about that actual market. It's what the city actually has. When you think about London and about that, you know, that financial infrastructure, it's a perfect place for an M&A summit. So very excited about that. The startup content I always think is really, really strong. Like, it's just kind of interesting. It's quite refreshing. You get to meet and to see a whole load of new people doing various things. And the room is always an interesting mix of kind of like the industry lifers and these up and coming companies. So it's a really good kind of mix of people. And I think the trend stage is going to be really good. Now, obviously we've got our kind of Content OS product kind of coming out of, you know, the digital proposition, but we're, you know, part of that Content OS offering, more can be found on the IGB website, is, you know, a kind of almost like a trend section. So we're almost kind of like sharing the brand with that, you know, which I think is quite a nice little thing to do. So look, I mean, I know that's very content heavy. Like, of course, there's going to be a lot of other cool shit going on. Like, the show floor is always kind of really lively. You know, IGB Executive Lounge is always incredibly popular.
There's it's a tourist again, isn't there?
Is there?
I believe so, because one of your colleagues was like, oh, we can get tattoos. I was like, absolutely not.
Oh, you absolutely should.
No.
Do you want to get...
Kim Kardashian asked about tattoos, and she said, why would you put a bumper sticker on a Lexus? Like, what tattoo am I going to get?
You could get one of a number.
Of a robin. I could get a little robin.
Oh,
just
little
on
robin.
The inside of the bicep, a little robin.
Or you could get an H in one bicep and a 2 in the other.
Yeah.
And then whenever someone asks, who do you work for, you could then just...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could get... What else could you get? Get a caipirinha? Like a little picture of a caipirinha?
I think if anyone had a picture of a caipirinha on them, you just look at them and mock them relentlessly. But hey, that's just my view. Now, I was going to go somewhere with this. No, it's okay. So you got tattoo. Oh, that was it. Going back to the lifers. So you're talking about the lifers in the room. Is there a Hall of Fame in the gambling industry?
There are many kind of variants. There's many sort of influential lists, perhaps too many. G2E has a Hall of Fame. I think AGM has a Hall of Fame. It has kind of like awards recognising service. There's always room for one more, isn't there?
Yeah, didn't they have Clarence position as, like, you know, the kind of leading show, etc. You know, maybe you should do a Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think you need to have various, you know, segments of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just saying, if there's room for an industry commentator, you know, feel free to send votes in people.
But I wouldn't put myself in the Hall of Fame.
Well, no, obviously not.
Oh, then why are you saying that? Why are you experimenting?
Let the listeners decide.
Let the listeners decide.
Anyway, I feel we're losing steam. What else is there to talk? I think that's it. I think we're just getting ready for IGB.
We're getting ready for IGB, and then whatever comes out of that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So look, everybody, thanks for listening. And yeah, it's been fun.
Well, look. We're having, obviously, we're not going to do anything, you know, because of IGB and everything, so we're having a little break. But I just want to very quickly say a little something.
Okay.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always love you. I'm not even going to try and get to the next bit. But
haunting,
you know,
hauntingly beautiful.
Did Dolly Parton write it initially?
Yes.
It says at the bottom, songwriter Dolly Parton. Okay.
Yes.
Well, look, Whitney, Dolly, I think you both sung it more beautifully than I did.
I don't think anyone will disagree with that.
Okay. Well, Robin, I hope life treats you kind, and I hope you've had all you've dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness, but above all this, I wish you love. And on that note, you can find us on...
You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. And you can find us, as ever, on our spiritual home, iGamingBusiness.com.
And you know what, Robin? Some people get upset by saying, I will always love you, and not hearing it back. But okay. I know that you said it first in the last episode by calling me your Superman.
Aww.
And you my little Right. On my right. To IGB.